welcome to Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I am Betsy Thompson, and y'all, if you don't know her, she will be your friend by the end. This is Tracy Ford.
Hi, everyone.
Y'all, I'm so excited that Tracy, one, that you said yes to coming and hanging out with me. I'm so excited. And listen, and I told you this when I was talking to you. I said, your reach is so wide.
Oh, goodness.
You have friends that you've had for years and years and years. You are so purposeful at friendships and community. You do such a good job of that.
Well, I love connecting with people, and it is so much fun to go somewhere. And just this weekend, I ran into a lady who was one of my high school Sunday school directors at First Baptist Houston. And we were at a restaurant across town, and I saw her. I saw her twin daughters, who I actually babysat, and now they're 39.
So cool. Y'all.
So anyway, God has just been so good to bless me with so many wonderful people in my life. And so I love my Sagemont family, my Houston's First family, all of the Pasadena ISD family. And now that my daughter is teaching in Pearland ISD, we have a new family over there.
So it's Which great. Is so cool, because I think you make it sound like that's normal. And it is for so many people. But for some others, they're like, I don't know anybody from high school. If I ran into them, I might look the other direction. You know, think there is some of that, and you are so good. And that's why I know so many of you that are going to watch and listen to this are just going to be like, Tracy. Because you are really good at making everybody feel special and known. Aww. You did that with me before I was on staff, and now being on staff, you just have, I know you just attribute it to the Lord. It's just a gift that you just have this way.
Yes.
And it's beautiful.
But for y'all who don't know, Betsy was our first grade VBS director with Monica Pike for years.
Yes.
And so I got to know her then, I love you even more now.
So sitting in meetings, planning VBS and making sure you had all your things
VBS,
turned in, and Carrie Scott saying, where's your supply list? All the forms and all the things. So that was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
That was back in the day, but it was so fun.
Yes,
So that leads to, how long have you been at Sagemont?
Well, as of May 10th, less than a month from now, I will have been on staff here for 25 years.
Y'all, I didn't know that, but we're so celebrating. Makes it 25 years, Trace.
25 years.
You started when you were 5.
Well, maybe 12, you know.
That's amazing.
Yes. And so that's a funny story. I certainly never expected that I would be in any type of secretarial support staff role, because I think I could type maybe 30 words a minute.
Oh, how funny.
When I took my typing test that was requested of me
back in the day.
And God was so good, and he so obviously had a purpose and a plan for me to join the Sagemont family.
Yeah.
When I did, I just, for those of you who may not know, Pat Connor was one of our wonderful ministers to children, and she is the one who saw something in me and hired me. And it's been a wonderful 25 years.
So have you been in kids ministry the whole time?
The whole time.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's amazing.
When I started, it was always, you know, Sagemont Church Kids Ministry. We switched over to Adventureland Children's Ministry to, you know, get with all the cool kids out there in kids ministry. And then it's been probably in the last, definitely in the last 5 years, that we changed the name over to Sagemont Kids to streamline and to also coordinate with the other ministries.
Absolutely.
You know,
Sagemont men, Sagemont women, Sagemont students, Sagemont kids. Yeah,
so
it was helpful.
We got on board and we have embraced that. And so it's been fun. Good.
Yeah. That's so cool.
I've seen
all the
many changes over the years.
All the things. So when you started, were y'all in the little hallway that's not even here anymore, like that building, or where were y'all?
Well, the children's building was the temporary building that eventually became the great room.
The great room.
There
okay.
were eight. It was built to be a children's building.
Okay.
And there were eight classrooms out there. No bathroom. So that made Sundays and Wednesdays fun. When
that's an interesting plan.
And then we had some classrooms upstairs on the second floor above the chapel.
Okay.
So some of those were kids' classrooms.
Wow.
So, and then preschool classrooms, some were up there.
Yeah.
And
isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is. It is wild to think about that. And then our offices were in the space off the gym. That
like where I am now,
not in the great room, not in the green room,
uh-huh.
but in that little hallway, like where
like where
support
data,
staff,
and,
yes,
okay, yeah,
data
yeah, security,
and,
all those people are
okay, data security, IT,
okay,
yeah.
So, isn't that wild? That's the crazy thing about Sagemont is as we have grown. We just reuse our spaces.
Yes.
They just change.
Yes.
You know, I mean, people go, oh, this is where I used to have Sunday school. Oh,
yes.
It's an office now.
Yes.
Or, you know, I mean, there's so many different things in
yes.
great use of the spaces that we have for
yes.
so many different reasons.
We, I believe we are very good stewards of the spaces
yeah.
that we enjoy here.
I agree.
So, yeah.
I agree. So fun. So yes. fun. Okay. So you grew up in Houston?
I did. I am a native Houstonian.
Okay.
I am the youngest of five children. And
which so many people probably don't realize that. They probably just think it's you and Tammy.
Yes. Well, there are five of us.
Yes.
We have our brother Donnie, our sister Denise, and then Tam, and then there was a sister in between Tam and me, and she was born with spina bifida, and so she lived 11 months, and then mom and dad, you know, thought that they couldn't have any more
right.
babies, and God blessed them with me.
A little surprise.
And
I love it.
So,
how far apart are you and Tammy?
Well, and the funny thing is, some people think I'm older, so... Let me just tell you.
I'm sure Tammy Fort loves that.
Yes, because there are 10 years
10
between
years. Okay.
me and Tam.
Okay,
so,
I knew it was a lot, but I can't remember.
Yeah, so she, so and I have called her this in my mind my whole life, but she's my second mom. And the fun thing is the way... my daughter, Juliana, has grown up. Tam is also her second mom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's just funny.
So sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
and again, if you don't know Tammy Fort, get to know Tammy Fort.
She is the best.
She's amazing.
Y'all, she is just, she's my best friend.
Yeah.
She's my best, you know, I mean, my best everything.
Yeah.
She's just
huge
amazing.
Support. She's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's except when we asked her to come on here and she was like, no.
Yeah. I said, you could come sit next
yes.
to me. And she said,
no. Not her thing. Not her
Which
thing.
Is not really my thing either. But
look at
I
you.
Am willing to take the plunge. So
Thank
here we
you.
Are.
I love it so much. Okay, so I know, and this is the hard thing with these table talks all the time, is I'm like, we could just sit and do this forever.
Yes.
But I really did have a very specific thing to ask you to come on.
Absolutely.
And it's so funny how God works, because you kind of invited yourself without knowing you invited yourself.
Be careful so, what you post on Facebook,
listen,
friends.
Every once in a while I read it and go, oh, she wants to be on Table Talk. Even though that's not at all what she said. But so right now, Pastor Levi's in the middle of this series.
Yes.
Talking about emotions and just dealing with anger and anxiety and jealousy. And we're finishing up that series. And you had put on Facebook after the anxiety sermon. And if you haven't listened to those, go listen to them. They're phenomenal.
They're excellent.
We're going to talk about them, but go listen to them. You can find them on YouTube or Facebook or the website, wherever. But you said, I've dealt with anxiety basically my whole life.
Yes.
And somewhere in the thing you wrote, if anyone can learn from my experience,
if this can help one person,
it's worth it.
Then it's worth it.
And I was like,
because you never want to go through junk and it not, you know, if I can help someone, great.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line, because
I love it.
God has carried me through so many different situations throughout my life. And anyway, I'm just so grateful. And I've learned this over and over again. Every person is different. Mm-hmm. Everyone responds differently to different situations.
Absolutely.
And something that might send me into anxiety, Betsy might think, what's the big deal?
Absolutely.
You know, and that's when we have to learn to give grace to one another, mm-hmm. you know, as we understand everyone processes differently.
Absolutely. And so she was so sweet in her little Facebook post. And I was like, oh, she said, if God can use it anyway, come on, Tracy, let's talk about it. And she was very gracious and said yes. And so I'm very glad. But dude, listen, I'm always watching.
Always watching.
Always watching. But I love that so much. And I think, and you and I talked about this, exactly what you just said. So often when we read in scripture, God uses everything for his good.
Mm-hmm.
So often it's just us sharing what we've walked through with somebody else for it to benefit someone else as they're walking through it.
Mm-hmm.
And man, if we aren't willing to share our story, I think sometimes we hold back that blessing that it could be.
One of my favorite songs in this season of my life is the Matthew West song, My Story, His Glory. I think it's My Story, His Glory, or My Story, Your Glory, My Pain, Your Purpose. Mm. And God has just used those words to remind me and comfort me over and over that no matter what, my story is for his glory. Mm-hmm. Betsy's story is for his glory.
Absolutely.
And so when we see one another through that lens, it's just everyone has a story. Everyone has stuff that they go through. And you may think the person sitting next to you in church or at work or in a restaurant, you may think that they have it all together. Y'all, I don't think any of us have it all together.
No.
So that's why Pastor Levi's sermon series right now is just so good, because we do have emotions that can be debilitating, mm-hmm. you know, depending on the time and the situation.
So. Absolutely. And I think so often looking back years gone by at the church, it so often what I would hear as a kid and even before you and I were even alive, it was just pray about that.
Yes.
Yes, that's what we should do, but you don't disregard the emotion, the feeling.
Yes.
The emotions and feelings don't drive you, but you have to acknowledge them.
Absolutely.
You have to, and I loved in Levi's anxiety sermon, he was like, when we take those feelings and hand them over to the Lord, he said, explain what they are. Why am I feeling this way? This is all my things. Don't just go, okay, Lord, take it.
Yeah.
And not because the Lord needs us to explain it to him, but it's really good for us to go, why am I feeling like this?
Mm-hmm.
This last Sunday, actually a couple weeks ago, when the morning of the anxiety message, I wasn't at church. We had something else going on. And we were trying to get somewhere, not sure if we were going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, my heart was like a mess. My stomach was sick. Donald was driving and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is physically, I feel awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you need to get it together. Just get it together. And as soon as I said, Donald, I'm freaking out. He goes, why? Because he's just driving along. He's like, why? I said, because I'm afraid we're going to miss it. what we were trying to get to. I said, I'm scared we're going to not get there. I'm scared we're going to miss it. I'm scared it's not going to be handled well. And I've already had five conversations, if it goes this way, of what my conversation's going to have to be. I mean, I had just completely spun it. And that's not my normal personality. Okay. I'm not normally like that. But as soon as I voiced it, and he was like, hey.
Yeah.
It's good. I was like, okay. And sometimes we do, and Pastor Levi talked about that, the what if, what did he call it?
The what if-itis.
What if-itis.
Oh my goodness. I've it's never heard that worst. Before. I wrote it down in my Bible. It is the worst. And so I have a dear friend who has talked about how she would talk with her children whenever they would get stressed out about something, and just worst case scenario, like Pastor Levi talked about, she would say, okay, so what happens if you don't do this? Okay, what happens then? And so they get to the worst case scenario, which typically involved death of some kind, and realized it's going to be okay, you know, because we're going to work this out. And but talking it out helps a lot.
So much.
Put on my Facebook that I've had different kinds of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I recognized as an adult that I had major separation anxiety as a child with my mom, because my mom was a stay-at-home, raise-the-children kind of mom. She was just wonderful. And, of course, Daddy was equally wonderful because, you know, he worked and they made it work to where she could stay at home. So we were so blessed. But I was so attached to my mom. And so going to school, I would experience at age 6 and 7 what you just described. Yeah. You know, like I would get what I guess you would say butterflies in your tummy. And sometimes I would get physically ill and I would just be not right. Mm-hmm. And so as an adult, when I was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder because of, you know, heart racing and more physical and all, but it all comes together at different times. And it's just, it's wretched. But God, you know, God takes care of it. But I'm with you, the way we grew up, you hardly ever heard anything about an anxiety disorder or anxiety of any kind. It was just like, oh, they're stressed out or whatever. But, you know, just pray about it. Just give it to the Lord. You know, you're a strong Christian. Mm-hmm. And anxiety, you know, it doesn't.
Which all those things are true.
Yes.
But you need more tools in your tool belt.
Absolutely.
To really be able to.
And you need to be able to recognize it for what it is. And so it's only as an adult that I've realized that some of our greatest heroes of the faith, like King David and Paul, suffered, you know, from what sounds like debilitating anxiety, because, you know, the whole book of Psalms is just like King David's, you know, journal to us. And there are just so many instances where he is crying out to the Lord, you know, to rescue him and take this from him. And then you can tell by the end, his spirit has calmed down and all. But I think I'm thankful for the world we live in, that we do have the tools necessary to combat it.
A lot of the stigma is falling away.
Yes.
You know, go to counseling. I love Pastor Levi also said, if you still are struggling with going to counseling, check your pride.
Yeah. Get over yourself.
Yes. Because it might. So I think counseling benefits everybody, everybody to take time and look at that.
Yeah.
So over the last few years, you've been on a cancer journey.
Yes.
How long ago was it that you were diagnosed?
3 years ago in March. So it was actually the Monday of spring break. I was having issues that necessitated me making an emergency appointment to see the doctor. And so I went and saw her on Tuesday morning, And by Tuesday afternoon, I was in the oncologist's office.
Wow.
And that was a shock, to say the least.
Sure, yeah.
No one in my immediate family has ever suffered from cancer, and so I'm the first person mm-hmm. in my family to go to an oncologist
right.
and hear the word cancer. Mm-hmm. And so through a series of course, exams and tests and everything, I began chemotherapy the first Wednesday in April. Mm. And I did that. I did 6 sessions over the next 3 months. And then I took some, the doctor, you know, told me, you need some time to recover mm-hmm. from that. Mm-hmm. We did surgery and then time to recover from that. And then I underwent radiation.
Yeah. It's been a deal.
It's been a deal. Yes. My perspective on cancer was, okay, you're diagnosed with cancer. You go through chemotherapy. If they can do surgery, great. Some people go through radiation. And then once it's all cleared up, you're done. It doesn't work like that.
No.
Because if you think about it, chemotherapy is a type of poison mm-hmm. because it's killing the cancer cells. It's also killing the good cells. And then radiation is just burning whatever they shoot at.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, I had about, I would say, 6 really good weeks after I finished radiation. I was getting stronger and everything. And then February of the year after my cancer treatment, my body just, I started developing infections. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was still, you know, COVID going on. And so masks and all that. But then in May of 2022, my body just, I don't know if you would say started shutting down, but it was just literally one thing after another. Mm-hmm. And so I spent almost 2 months in the hospital. And honestly, not to be dramatic, but just to be truthful, I honestly didn't know if I would get out.
Right.
So it's scary to think back on because there's so much of that time that I don't remember.
Sure.
But what I do remember is how God just carried me through, carried my sister Tammy through, carried my Juliana through.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still doing that today.
Yeah.
You know, I have learned so much through that situation. I never would have thought I would have cancer. I never would have asked to have cancer. But I can't say that I would change anything because it's brought me even closer to the Lord mm-hmm. and closer to my family and to my church family. Mm-hmm. And he truly has, he is our everything.
Yeah.
So I honestly can say that.
Do you look back or have you ever stopped and looked back at when you dealt with anxiety earlier
mm-hmm.
and really said, okay, this is something mm-hmm. I need to deal with this. I need to get some tools. I need to do that. That if you had just kept pushing it, it's whatever. It's fine. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That the person you were because you dealt with anxiety and walked through this, did it help prepare you to, because I would think sitting in an oncologist office when they're saying you have cancer, I would think your anxiety would be.
And, you know, that is a great question, Betsy, because I have thought about that over the years, you know, because in that season of my life, I didn't have one panic attack.
It's amazing.
I didn't have really, it was just like, it was, everything was kind of decided, you know, for me. Like I had the schedule of chemotherapy mm-hmm. and then I had this mm-hmm. schedule of preparing for surgery and schedule of radiation. And so it was just like, okay, just do the next thing. Just mm-hmm. do the next thing. And So God, that is truly his handiwork, mm-hmm. because I truly believe, you know, dealing with the anxiety and working through it and identifying it, and it's just like praying through that, you know.
So. Yeah. In this series that Pastor Levi did, the first Sunday was on anger.
Mm-hmm.
No one that knows you would say you're an angry person. See the smile? Never. I'm not an angry person.
We're all angry people, friends.
I've been in meetings where I'm like, she's going to get angry. No, she's just handling it. Good job.
Just keep writing the notes.
Deal with it later. No, but going through cancer, and even now,
mm-hmm.
With all the still medical things that you are dealing with, and
yes.
how it affects your daily life and those kinds of things because of going through those treatments, do you deal with, I feel like it's a silly question, but it's also Tracy, so like, do you deal with anger? And if you do, how do you process that?
Yes, that is also a great question. And I don't think of myself as an angry person, but, you know, listening
and
to Pastor...
And even non-angry people get angry. So you can be
yes.
a non-angry person and still get
yes.
angry.
Yes. God has given us all these emotions.
Yeah.
And a book I'm reading right now said that emotions aren't meant to be fixed, which is, I think, how I grew up. It's just
yes.
kind of like, you know... Okay, don't cry about it. That's not going to make it better. Well, sometimes you just need to cry about
mm-hmm.
it, and so it is okay. But emotions aren't meant to be fixed. They're meant to be felt.
Hmm.
And so, yes, I have felt angry.
Sure.
I do feel angry. And, y'all, I feel angry over the silliest things. Like, I'll be sitting at my desk, and it's time to take medicine. I'm just like, ugh. I hate having to take all this medicine.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm sorry, Lord. You know I need to take this medicine. I'm grateful that it's here for me to take, you know. And so I try to immediately change my perspective. But it's not always immediate.
Sure.
There are some situations in life that they're not fair.
Yep.
You know, and it's not, I mean, cancer, chronic illness is so not fair.
Yeah.
But there are other situations in life. You know, I've watched my daughter, Juliana, go through some very stressful situations as a teacher. And some of those are just not fair.
Yeah.
And they make me, you know, a little bit angry. And then, you know, we talk it out and we both get perspective. And then it's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is God is sovereign. He is in control. No experience is ever wasted, whether it be illness or, you know, situations at work or situations mm-hmm. at home. No matter what you're doing, when you're doing it for the Lord, it is never going to be wasted.
Yeah. Have you ever dealt with being angry at the Lord?
Not really. I mean, I've been...
Why do you think that is? Because I think a lot of people... That isn't 100% an emotion they feel, especially with something like cancer or those kinds of things, because you're like, Lord, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think it's very easy to say, okay, Lord, what is going on here? What are you teaching me? What do I need to learn from this? How can I use this to help others?
Mm-hmm.
But... I try not to land in the anger because I don't want bitterness to take root.
Nope.
And I don't want to, do anything that would dishonor.
Absolutely.
The Lord.
So, you know, scripture says, do not sin in your anger.
Mm-hmm.
That means you're going to be angry. It's how you
handle
how
it,
how you behave and act in those moments
mm-hmm.
and with those feelings, that makes such a huge impact, because undealt with anger 100% leads to bitterness.
Oh.
And then it says, you know, that bitterness takes root in your heart. And I think that's one of the things so often I think about. I'm like, okay, you need to deal with this anger because we're not going to bitterness.
Right.
And it is acknowledging it.
Yes.
Figuring out, how am I going to deal with it? Do I need to go talk to a counselor? Do I need to read a book? Do I need to talk to somebody who's been through it? All the different things. There's so many different ways you can look at it, but not letting it linger.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is hard, because usually when we're angry, there's pride involved.
Yes.
Because we get to be prideful people.
Yes.
And so we're like, I have every right to be angry.
That's where I was gonna say the part Pastor Levi talked about, righteous anger.
Yes.
And I love that, because I'm like, okay, I'm angry, but it's a righteous anger.
I have every right to be angry.
So, and then, you know.
Which is true. There are times when we do. And again, it's in that, don't sin.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. We want to make sure we're not.
We want to make sure that our side is heard, you know, our voice is known, and the Lord will take care of that. He will fight for us.
Gosh, here's the beautiful thing. And I know this is true for you. Our God is big, and He can handle our emotions.
Yes.
He's
the one who created them.
Yes. Like, so. He's like, you're going to get angry. You're going to have some anxiety. Tell me.
Yes.
You know, share those. I mean, gosh, our dependence on Him is so important. And the Western world that we live in right now, we can so fix most of our problems.
Yeah.
We get very self-reliant. I can do that. I can do this. Mm-hmm. I need more bread. I'll go to the store and buy bread. I need this. I can go take care. We very much get in a I can take care of it.
Yes.
Kind of situations and attitude. And I think with our emotions, we can get caught in that too.
Yeah.
Oh, I can take care of that.
Yeah.
I just do this.
I don't
this
need
and this.
Anyone. Yes. I don't need to, you know. And y'all, that is something that I found in the recovery period after the hospitalization, because I was home, and oftentimes I was home alone during the day because Tammy and Juliana both work full-time jobs and everything. And so there is a feeling of isolation that comes. And I think isolation can be one of the enemy's greatest tools that he uses against us, because it's like he can get in our head and, you know, tell us all these things that are absolutely untrue. And so we don't need to isolate ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to be a community and be willing to hear everyone's story. And one thing I thought about when we were talking earlier, a testimony, people think that sharing your testimony means sharing when you got saved or asked Jesus into your heart or made a profession of faith, whatever the wording is. And to me, a testimony, yes, it starts with your belief in Jesus, but I think sharing your testimony is simply sharing your story and being willing to share the hope that you have because of your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus. And so,
yeah, I've heard it said you're sharing your testimony is sharing the tests that you've been through, those times when you've been tested and how the Lord's walked you through those.
And I think Pastor Levi may have, he said, about suffering with like the physical and mental anxiety, that if you're miserable, don't be, seek help, you know,
go get help.
And that is, the Lord can take your misery and turn it into a message. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard testimony, message, you know, so
absolutely.
God can do anything.
Yeah. Did you learn through this process to have to be okay with people helping you? Bringing food, taking your clothes and washing your clothes. Those kinds of things where you get to a place where you're like, I do need help.
Yes.
And even if I could do it, someone else is willing to do it.
Yes.
Laying that down and saying, let somebody else come alongside and help.
Yes. because Tammy and Juliana and I, we love our people and we want to do and help and serve and everything. And so during this season of life when it was just overwhelming, we had so many in our church family who reached out and were willing to do anything and everything. And even still today, I will have lovely people, you know, whether it be my staff family or church friends or, you know, people I may not even know very well will reach out and say, we're still praying for you. And that means the world to me and to the girls, because it's just, it's still a struggle. My whole body and being changed after the cancer treatments. And so, whereas I used to be incredibly hot-natured, like the most hot-natured person on planet Earth, I would think, now I have to wear a sweater everywhere I go.
Yeah.
So I'm cold. Incredibly cold-natured. And there are, you know, other chronic issues that I deal with on a daily basis that, unless the Lord intervenes otherwise, I expect that I will deal with them to some degree for the rest of my life. And so it's just been an adjustment and getting used to the new normal, as it were. But yeah. I'm just so grateful to be here. Yeah. So
how do you balance between when people say, Trace, how you doing? How do you balance between good?
Yeah.
And struggling?
Yeah.
Because I think they're both, you hold both of them very well. But how do you let down the guard enough to go, it's a really hard day today, versus it's great?
Yeah. I try to be honest with people. So if I'm having, you know, if I'm not having such a great day, I'll say, I'm doing okay, you know? And I know who genuinely cares and wants to hear beyond the I'm doing okay or I'm fine or whatever. So I never want to overwhelm people. I never want to overshare. I've told that to Betsy this week. You know, I never want to make anyone feel uncomfortable, but I also want to be honest. I think that's something that we need more of with one another, because, you know, I do care, and I want to know how you're doing. Right. I want to know how Jason and his family are doing, and, you know, all the friends. And so it matters, you know, everyone matters. And so it's just being honest, but also just being respectful and, you know.
Knowing your audience is a huge deal.
Yes,
a huge deal of who's just passing by and who's really going, hey, how are you?
Yes.
What's really going on?
Yes.
And being able to differentiate that is important,
too. And I know
too.
I can do a better job of that, too, you know, being
I think you do a great job.
More intentional. So
I think you do a great job.
You're very kind.
I so appreciate you being willing to come on here and talk and share and be vulnerable and honest about stuff. And I will say, man, I hope people watching today or listening are encouraged. But I also know Tracy Fort, and if you call her or poke your head in her office and go, I'm not okay.
Oh.
She's dropping everything she's doing and talking with you and praying with you and sharing more of how she has walked this road. Because Tracy is one of these people that from a distance looks like it's great. Even in the middle of super difficult. And the Lord's just blessed you with this. But I also think you also are somebody that will be very real with people and have really honest conversations. And so I know you'll do that with people.
Yes. Life is too short to not have those gracious but real conversations with people, because, you know, I don't want to waste any of my days, and I don't want any of their days to be wasted. Yeah. So I'm I'm always happy to help however I can. And so if that's just listening or praying mm-hmm. or laughing or crying, y'all, I have become such a great crier for the past couple of years. I mean, you can
see. You need
a
good cry.
Listen, all you have to do is just, you know, come to my door and say, and I'll be crying right there with you.
People will look at me and go, how are you doing? I'm like, you want me to cry?
Yeah.
Because I can.
Yes.
Give me a second.
I mean, talk about emotions. Yeah. I have got, I mean, yeah.
All of them.
Yes.
Which I love.
Yes. And a lot of emotions come out through my eyes lately. So,
which is okay. Anyway. I love it. Hey, and I know Tracy and I both will say, if you have not listened to Pastor Levi's series on emotions, please go back and listen. Because one, he does such a beautiful job of validating them.
Yes.
But also not giving them power.
Yes.
And real tools and applications that you can do to not just go, oh, so I'm a super anxious person and dead end that. Now go, oh, I'm dealing with anxious feelings. I need to, what are the next steps? What do I do with that?
Right.
And so he does such a beautiful job.
And again, y'all, I think Betsy would join me in saying there is no stigma in reaching out for help Amen. To anyone, whether it be your medical doctor or a therapist mm-hmm. or just anyone.
Yeah.
There's still some work to do in that area of moving past the social stigma, but I think we're on the right track.
Yeah.
And I just encourage you to know you're never alone and you are so loved.
Amen. So. I love that. And we have to do a huge plug for Sagemont Counseling Center.
Yes.
Because as we're saying, reach out to people, y'all. Sagemont is blessed, like ridiculously blessed with a whole counseling ministry of licensed professional counselors that you can call and make an appointment with and go talk to someone that is going to give you honest biblical counseling.
Yes.
And it's a huge blessing that you don't have to go try to hunt down, well, who can I trust or who can I go to? There's a whole building full of them.
And we actually met our newest counselor. I think she started maybe 4 to 6 weeks ago. But anyway, she counsels just children.
I met her. She's adorable.
And y'all, this was just eye-opening to me. But her youngest clients can be 2 years old. And I think she visits with clients up to 18.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever your need is,
it makes me think of little 6-year-old Tracy Ford.
Yes.
With dealing with separation and anxiousness and everybody trying to either figure it out or explain it away
mm-hmm.
to now in this generation to be able to go, hey, we actually have somebody you can go talk
to. I can't imagine what that would have been like to be able
process
to sit
it
down and process it. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that would have helped me, you know, later on in life when I was actually diagnosed, you know, with panic attacks and everything.
Yeah.
And those aren't fun.
Right.
But I'm just so grateful that we have these tools for our friends.
And I love it because you can be worried about your kid. Have them go talk to somebody and them go, they're just, you're giving them a vitamin in the morning. It's upsetting their stomach. Stop doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean every single person that goes has some thing. It can be very situational. Let's just change the situation. And so that's the beauty of talking to people is you can learn where sometimes we do go to the very worst case scenario.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
The people that can go, okay, come back over here. It's really, it's this.
Mm-hmm.
And let's deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes people don't go to doctors or counselors because they're like, well, they're going to tell me the very worst thing.
Yeah. So one more funny story about that. In my recovery period, and even, I mean, I still struggle with it. So I think that there is a real sense of PTSD after going through all that I've gone through. At least that's what, you know, my medical doctors tell me. And anyway, but in my recovery period, I probably wrote my obituary 12 times
did
in
you
my mind.
Really?
Yes. I just,
yeah.
I was like, okay, what, you know, what do I mean, this is something I could do for the girls because I love writing. I love words and everything. And so I would write it out. And so, but I kept that close, you know, mm-hmm. I was just like, I can't tell anybody. They'll think I'm crazy, you know, that kind of thing. And so we had family friends over, and I just shared with Miss Barbara, you know, oh, my goodness. You know, I've probably written my obituary a dozen times. She said, well, why didn't you go ahead and write it down?
That's what I'm saying. Whenever you said in your head, I was like, girl, get
And then that's what Terry and Juliana replied with. They're like, well, we wish you would go ahead and
just write it.
So anyway.
Yeah.
But your mind, I still struggle with that. Your mind just goes worst case scenario and all the emotions that go with that. But then, you know, God is there and he picks me up and he's like, okay. But for today, you know, here's what we're going to do.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you again for coming and hanging out.
Thank you for letting me go on and on.
I love it. No, I love it so much. Y'all,
thank you for having me. Yes. I never in a million years expected to be on Table Talk.
I'm so glad you came.
Well,
it was so fun.
Thank
I know people are going to love getting to see you.
Oh.
And I think it's good for so many of us and people that are like, how are you? What is going on? And you've done a great job of telling us that today. We're still praying for you.
Thank you.
We're still supporting you. We're still walking alongside you as your friends, near, far. I know that you have that community. And so if you're somebody that's like, oh, I texted Tracy all the time while she was going through cancer, text her today. Send her, we're still praying for her. She's still going through stuff. So we love you.
Love you more.
And I'm super thankful that you came today. And
thank
y'all,
you.
Deal with our emotions.
Yes.
They're real.
Yes.
We need to deal with them. So go and do it.
Betsy and I are not just saying this because we're trying to get on Pastor Levi's good side or anything. You know, yes, he is our pastor. He is our shepherd leader and he is amazing. But his messages have been absolutely incredible. So I'm looking forward to the next one.
Yeah. It's going to be great. We're so thankful he is here. It's fun.
Yes. So, we are so grateful.
Guys, enjoy the rest of whatever day you're hanging out with us on Table Talk, and we will see you next time.
Love y'all.